the heart of the Eternal City, where emperors once ruled and legacies were carved in stone, the battle for Rome raged on. Lazio versus Roma, not just a derby, but a modern-day civil war, echoing through the ruins of the empire. And speaking of civil war, sadly, we also witnessed guerrilla-like scenes outside the Olympico before kickoff. Ultras clashing with police, intense moments that once again tarnished the image of the beautiful Italian game. A game we all love. A game, il calcio, we work so hard to celebrate. However, the show must go on, because on the pitch we had drama, grit and tactical shifts that defined another thrilling Serie A weekend. I am Gianluca Lia, your host, and you are listening to Tactics Imperium, powered by Serie A Spotlight as always. Today, we are diving deep into the Derby della Capitale and Milan's brilliance in Udine, the result of a bold formation change that sparked a comeback worthy of Rossoneri. And yes, today's episode is a bit longer. You will ask me why. Because I will be covering two matches instead of one, and I want to make sure I explain some key tactical terms along the way. So, I invite you to buckle up and let's get into it. First, we start with the Derby della Capitale. Let's bring the spotlight to Rome. A derby high in tension but low on goals. A tactical chess match, where structure trumped spontaneity. Before we break it down though, let's talk formations, because you will hear these terms a lot today. 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2. Why do coaches use the 4-2-3-1 formation? It's one of the most balanced systems in modern football. And when a coach mirrors the opponent with a 4-2-3-1, here's why. Man-to-man matchups, defensive solidity and tactical flexibility. So let's break them one by one. Man-to-man matchups. This means that every player has a reference point. The number 10 presses the opponent's pivot. The pivots handle attacking midfielders, fullbacks on wingers, center backs on the one striker. Defensive solidity. The double pivot protects the central zone, and the three up front behind the lone striker can either press high or drop into a mid block, which means this system is super fluid centrally. Finally, tactical flexibility, which means that this formation can easily shift mid-game into a 4-4-2 if the number 10, the player exactly behind the striker, joins the striker, a 4-3 if one pivot from the two in front of the backline pushes up, and a 4-5-1, which means defending in a low block. The other question, why 4-4-2 in the final stretch of games? You'll notice this often around the 75th minute, especially in modern football, especially if a team is chasing or defending a goal, for three particular reasons. Compact and simple, two solid banks of four, which means the back four and the midfield four, tight spacing between the departments, and easy to organize. Effective in transition, two strikers give quick counter options, one can hold, one can run behind. And finally, late substitutions fit easily. Direct attackers or ball winners slot in without overcomplicating the structure. Now, back to the match. Roma appeared to start in a 3-4-1 formation. However, Salamaker's positioning hinted at a more of a 4-2-3-1 formation to mirror Lazio's setup. And Roma lined up like this. Svilar in goal, Mancini and Indica at center back, Celik right and Angelino left as fullbacks, Paredes and Kone, the pivots in midfield, and Pellegrini behind Dovbyk, with Sule on the left and Salamakers on the right on the wings, inverted. On the other hand, Lazio, under Baroni, also played a 4-2-3-1 formation. Mandas in goal, Gigot and Romagnoli in central defense, Marusic and Luca Pellegrini out wide, Rovella and Guendouzi holding midfielders, Dele Bajuru as the 10, with Zaccagni and De Zaxen also as inverted wingers, flanking the lone striker Castellanos. Both teams matched up, and that made for a very structured first half. Lazio were defending narrowly, forcing Roma very wide. Pellegrini of Roma dropped deep to connect play, while Sole stretched the right and Angelino pushed high on the left. Roma transitioned back to a 3-4-1 in possession. They were trying to overload the center and draw Lazio wide. But both sides struggled through midfield. Paredes of Roma and Rovella of Lazio couldn't find any passing lanes. And Roma's Kone was trying to drive through pressure individually. Possession was very slow. The wings saw most of the action, with Angelino of Roma in particular had trouble dealing with Isaacson of Lazio, who was very active in the first half, forcing also Roma's goalkeepers Villa to produce a couple of good saves. Lazio obviously looked more threatening, while Roma had no support for Dovbyk, with Pellegrini being also isolated alongside Dovbyk. Halftime 0-0, low event, high structure. We head on to the second half. Ranieri making a bold call at halftime, Paredes off Cristante on. However, moments later, Lazio scored from a set piece. Romagnoli found space in the small box and Cristante kept everyone onside. Roma made an immediate change. Forward Shomurodov on, Pellegrini off, shifting to a 4-4-2 formation with twin strikers to support it by wide play. But it was Sule, Dybala's natural heir, who saved the day. A moment of brilliance, killing one of Dybala and just over the line. 1-1. At this point in time now, Ranieri hoped that fatigue would hit Lazio after their European midweek game against Bodo Glimt in the UEFA Europa League. However, Lazio's coach Baroni reacted very smartly, in my opinion. Fresh legs on with Dia and Pedro, while Zaccagni and Luca Pellegrini kept causing problems. Nonetheless, late changes from both sides, with Roma even closing in a 3-4-3, had little impact on the match. Which means, a derby full of nerves, but not much flair. A tactical deadlock more than a spectacle. Now, let's hop off to Udine, where Friday Milan defeated Udinese 4-0, hitting Top Gear in a commanding performance, which produced 4 different scorers and the first clean sheet in 9 matches. And I believe that it all started with a decisive switch from a 4-2-1 to a 3-4-3. Sergio Conte's house plan worked, and some of Milan's key players finally looked free again. Let's start. Theo Hernandez, Thunder's goal. With the extra center back behind him, he pushed forward with no leash. Rafa Leao, unlocked. More space, more freedom, and it showed. Both scored, their droughts broken. Also, at the back, Strahinja Pavlović stood out. Commanding, composed and proactive. Stepped into midfield with confidence, and his progressive run led to Theo's goal. Scored one himself before halftime as well, to wrap it up. In addition, I also want to mention Conceição's comments to Sky Sport after the match, where, quote, "We worked on the back three during the international break. The players believed in it, and it showed. We were compact, solid, and balanced." It was a clean sheet, a statement, and a system that just works for Milan's strengths. The question is, will we see more 3-4-3 for Milan? Time will tell. And also, for our American listeners, Christian Pulisic stats versus Udinese. In 90 minutes, he produced 1 assist, he had 42 touches, he created 4 chances, he completed 74 passes, 74% of his passes, he won all his tackles and made 2 recoveries. Quiet but effective, and part of a cohesive team display. Now, to close out this episode, I want to speak about the 3-4-3 formation which Conceição used. When and why using F3-4-3? So, let's close with a quick explanation. Why do coaches opt for it? There are more or less 6 takeaways from this formation, which are width and overloads, ball-playing center backs, protects fullbacks, fast transitions, counter attacks, great against 4-2-1 formation, and defensive flexibility. Let's go through them one by one. Width and overloads. Perfect for stretching narrow teams, and it creates 2-versus-1 on the wings with wing backs plus wingers. Ball-playing center backs. One can step up without leaving the back exposed, because there is still coverage at the back. protecting fullbacks. Attacking-minded fullbacks, like Theo Hernandez in this case, can get more cover. At the same time, it helps hide weaknesses in defensive fullbacks. Faster counter-attacks. The front three can stay high and wide, with the midfield compressing space centrally to win it back. It's great against 4-2-3-1, it allows a press that mirrors the opponent's setup, can pin them deep and win the ball higher. Defensive flexibility. It can morph into a 5-4-1 out of position, compact but ready to spring wide. And that brings a wrap for today's dive deep. If you made it this far, thank you, I truly appreciate. Also, if you have enjoyed it, please leave a comment, drop some feedback, or send in your tactical questions for the next episode. Because starting next week, I will be answering your questions on air. So please get in touch, send your questions, tell me your name, nationality, and favorite team, even if not in this area, and let's nerd out together. Until then, alla prossima!